Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I want you to imagine everything I tell you as if you're there yourself.
Welcome to Dragoncast.
Do you remember any of the events that led up to your disappearance?
Whilst we're waiting for House of the Dragon Season 2, Jamie East and Chris Mandel dive into some acclaimed series just ripe for a bit of analysis.
Don't come unless you leave your front door open. You have to invite me in.
First is Britt Marling's cult classic, The OA.
I remember everything.
Oi, oi, Savaloy. It's, if it isn't Chris... Prairie Mandel.
I thought I recognised you from another dimension.
It's me. I'm the other side of a mirror, but here I am. Welcome.
Just put our hands up.
Standing on top of a makeshift cottage, kind of staring at you, wondering if you can see me or not. Welcome, people. This is quite sad. This is the first time that we've had like a final episode of a show. House of Dragon is back in production. We've not yet reached the end of Thrones. Succession is rumbling on for another 7 weeks or so. But this is the final discussion about the OA. We have reached the end. This is a talk about, well, the final two episodes of part two of Britt Marling's behemoth kind of like concept album of a series. And apologies that it's taken us so long to get this up. Succession kind of bowled us over in terms of how long we ended up talking about it and et cetera. So very, very sorry. We clearly bit off a bit more than we can chew doing three shows simultaneously. I don't think we'll be doing that again. But so, Chris, you don't need to tell me your initial reactions right now because, listeners, I said to Chris, I WhatsApped him, I said, let me know when you've watched it. Because I want to get your kind of like immediate reaction. And if you're listening to this, you'll know what I meant because of the final 2 minutes, 3 minutes or whatever it was. And by the power of technology, Chris sent me a voice note on WhatsApp. And I just want to play it now. And I'm going to stick this up on TikTok and the old Insta so that Chris has to sit here listening to himself. This is what Chris sent to me on the 30th of March at 7:15 in the evening.
Oh my God. I have just finished it. I like, what in the actual fuck? That was absolutely amazing. I had sort of a feeling it was about to get really meta. I think you maybe said it gets really meta at some point. So I wondered if there'd be a show. I thought there might be more like a, yeah, like some kind of show within a show. But it was beautiful. And it kind of just, it does work. Like, it doesn't feel like they just did it to try and fuck with people. It feels like part of the message about the fact they're always going to be in each other's lives. It feels like such a clever way to address that. The Michelle Buck stuff, that was fascinating. Kareem, I'm kind of like, I maybe just need to read a bit about why, like, how that all went down and what exactly happened. But yeah, that was astonishing. I thought it was so clever. And just such a shame that we're never going to get resolution and we're never going to get to see more. It was such a shame. It just, what an amazing way to end a season, and what an amazing third season and beyond that we have been denied. Yeah, just wanted to send my immediate thoughts. Absolutely blown my fucking face off, basically. Yeah, I can't believe how good that was.
There we go. Look at that. That's
wow. So articulate.
So articulate. So yeah.
Blew exactly. My fucking face off.
Blew my fucking face off. You turned into me. That was like, yeah. That was me leaving a Google review for a restaurant.
That was seconds after it finished as well. So that was like the unfiltered top line. What the fuck?
Yeah. I think that's a pretty, I imagine most people thought that watched it, maybe with a bit more of a sprinkling of, hang on a sec, I don't get what just happened.
Let's talk about the very, very end.
Yeah.
And then we'll work backwards. So
which was the thing that I was so keen for you to watch. There was that and the octopus. I was just like, these are just like the bits that just set this program apart.
Yeah. So the ending kind of, the main thing is that Hap or Dr. Percy, first of all, has giant robots now in the garden. Massive rather than the robots. Little robots that we saw a few episodes ago. These giant sort of like sculptural cubes that turn into robots to initiate the movements. And he took them, or he opened some portal, slipstream into another dimension. OA joins him.
Yeah.
And she wakes up and she's on the set of a TV show.
On the set of the OA.
Yeah. But, you know, just on the set of a, something is being filmed. Mm-hmm. And we find out that her name is Britt. Hap's name is Jason, and they are the actors playing the characters. And so this dimension is
And they're married.
And they're married, which is... Because isn't the guy that made the OA with Britt her husband?
I don't know.
Possibly. So does he not exist in this universe?
I guess not. He didn't get a cut. He's just some cut.
He'd be like,
he just lived out this cuck thing. He's just like,
in this other universe, he's like,
I've written this. Living... Bear with me, love. I've written this separate parallel universe where Jason Isaacs fucks you, and I'm okay with that.
Just
putting it out there.
It's weird. So that's basically where the third dimension is.
Yeah,
I think very different to the other two because it's.
There's infinite. I mean, this is the multiverse. You know, this was the multiverse before Doctor Strange made it into the cinema. Before Into the Spider-Verse was anything. This is the OG OA. This was the implication was that there are infinite of them. You know, there's infinite parallel multiverses, a concept which we're all almost bored of by now.
Mm.
But the danger and the problem was that by Nina Prairie OA being taken the way that she was, she would not know from whence she had came, which was basically, I'm pretty sure that the creators of Spider-Man No Way Home, fucking watch this, because that is basically the ending of the last Spider-Man out.
That's right, yeah. But let's kind of go through. So Hap said he wanted to. There's this sort of thing in the last couple of episodes that, like, they're always going to be in each other's lives in every universe.
They're connected. Yeah, so again, elements of Lost. You know, there were heartbeats of Lost throughout this. There was the moment where Homer got his kind of like his memory back.
Very Lost season six.
It's exactly the same as Jack and
Kate.
No, not Kate. What was her name? I did this last time. They're at the drinks machine.
That's Sawyer and Juliet.
Sawyer and Juliet. Yeah. That was exactly the same thing. They kind of just, their hands touched the other side of the glass, which replicated what happened in the hexagonal cell. Blabbing.
The idea is that OA and Hap are kind of yin and yang, always going to be in each other's lives. And she is a force for good and he is a force for destruction in a lot of ways. But there's also this idea
disruption,
that comes in.
Disruption, I would say, rather than destruction.
Yes, that's true. Yes. Because actually also it's like maybe the universes that you have experienced where he's imprisoning you, he's just been incapable of finding you through more holistic normal ways.
Right. Yeah.
So in some versions, as the one that they go to, they are, let's presume, a happily married couple.
Yeah.
That was the big thing. Homer realized in Dimension 2 who OA was. He remembered his life from the other dimension, but then he was shot. So presumably he also goes into that dimension with them, or not. He'll be in that third dimension, but this third one seems so far removed if we think of the fact that they're presumably in America.
Yeah.
You know, Nina in the car accident in Dimension 1, presumably that hasn't happened either, but something has caused that woman to be raised completely differently. So
as Britt Marling.
Yeah. As Britt Marling, yeah, exactly. And then there's just kind of so much to think about.
It's almost too much. It's almost like this. Well, this is the problem. This is the inherent problem, is the fact that we don't know. It will never be explained. And you have to assume that no matter how clever Britain and the makers were, that there will probably be elements they'll think, we'll sort that out by the time we get to season 3. We'll work that one out.
And I thought also, even with the greatest love in the world for the show, you have to take the third season somewhere else, because we've had the spend a season remembering your life from the first season. So they have to take it somewhere new. And clearly they were just going really out there with this is going to be really complicated, but it's also going to be really meta. And and we had the same thing where there's an ambulance, Steve cycling after, because Steve managed to jump.
I suspect that like season 3 may have been more about Steve, may have been like him trying to get to Britt Marling whilst they were filming the OA, and he was like, hang on, that's, I don't know, who knows, because he managed to kind of like...
So clever.
He managed to kind of simultaneously appear at almost the same time, at the same point of the story as Brit, as OA appeared outside the school in the Dimension 1.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He kind of like...
Yeah, yeah, just at the end.
There's so many kind of like weird kind of things. We'll never know. And that's the frustration. Welcome to... So you've now joined the new club, which is like, fucking hell, why did they cancel the OA? Can you understand why they cancelled it? Bear in mind, this was back in 2017, something like
that. So can I understand why they cancelled it? Yes, I can, purely in the sense that Netflix was starting to look at the numbers, even though, you know, when it launched their streaming, the whole idea was, we're going to give shows to people that don't traditionally get shows. And their first wave was... It was diverse. It was like, hey, what if we do a show about women in prison, and we've got like queer women and trans women and everything like this. They sort of got to this point where they were like, oh, it turns out that like that's not making us any money. And so I can see why a show like this, which is really hard to explain, they don't really want to see a future in it. But I think it's just so frustrating, because I think there's just nothing on television since then, or even at the same time, that has that singularity to it, really. Right. And I think like I always use the word conviction in this podcast, but like the reason that it works is that there's a feeling that it is in service of some greater idea. And I thought in the first season, you know, it's not the first show to talk about jumping and alternative dimensions. You mentioned all the Marvel things, but it's the first time for it to feel really understood as a concept. And you only have to look at like, I don't know if you've seen Ant-Man, but like Paul Rudd meets like 300 Ant-Men from different universes in it.
Oh yes.
They all look exactly the same, talk exactly the same. And you're just like, for Marvel particularly, you have this multiverse of opportunities for storytelling. And your only way of conceiving Paul Rudd is that they're all the same.
Yeah.
And they all do the same thing, and they've all got the same powers. And I just find it so alarming how uninspiring it is. But this show, it really does pull you in emotionally when it talks about you're always going to find the person that you're supposed to be with in every universe. You'll always find them. And you'll find the people you don't like either, but there's something so soothing about this idea that, like, yeah, if you want the person you're always meant to be with, you have to put up with the shit you want to get away from as well.
In every
dimension.
Yeah, 100%.
I just found it really...
It's the push and pull of it all, yeah.
Yeah, I found it really soothing.
That's why I think this owes a lot to Cloud Atlas.
Yeah.
You know, it really does. And if you're listening to this and you haven't read the book Cloud Atlas or even watched the film Cloud Atlas, I really enjoyed the film. I'd read the book first because it's a lot...
I haven't read the book. I saw the film.
Oh, no, read, please.
I thought the film was a bit of a mess, but there's enough in there. You know what they're going
the
for.
The book is absolutely incredible, like brilliant. But it's the same concept, which is that no matter which life we're living, we are connected to people, different people, good and bad, whether we like it or not. And there's nothing that you can do about that. And there's something so romantic and base about that on a human level that I think is just really comforting to everybody, because it's like whether or not you're a widow and you just think, well, there's infinite numbers of me with them somewhere else, or, you know, just things like that, really, even if it's just your pet or, you know,
yeah,
I'll always,
I just
think it's just something that we, whether or not that's stupid, and it's a kind of like, and it is a kind of forebearer to religion, in one way.
It but, is, yeah.
You know,
it's something to cling on to, and it's something to get,
yeah,
you know, a bit of fuel from. And the woman, I can't remember her name, but Hap's mate, who seems to be able to jump through the dimensions, she talks about fuel. She talks about that idea of sustenance. And in the first season, we saw it manifesting in like belief in the OA. And then this season, it was much more like love. And that's what Hap kind of jumped with. It was like, I'm going to the place where we're together.
Yes.
That, and I don't get the impression he knew he could do that.
No, I think they all just jumped like feet first, like completely.
But he seemed to understand that, like, it wasn't the same to be with OA in a dimension where she hated him. He had to find her. And it's amazing. And, you know, you said that they're infinite, and maybe these dimensions are, maybe we can populate them. Maybe you can will an existence into existence.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the manifestation of what he wanted, which is this woman to be his wife. Maybe he made that for himself. So that I just thought was amazing. I loved the use of the kids from first dimension visiting the hospital in their timeline where it's kind of bombed out and disused.
Yes, they were expecting to see her there, but actually they just felt her there. You know,
these two timelines kind of literally sat on top of one another or within one another was really clever. BBA, remind me, I can't remember this, but is some kind of medium. She has some
She's got whatever it takes to be able to sense it, whether it's an age thing or a maturity thing or having lost someone or whatever it is. Yeah,
They don't explain it, do they?
No, we never really explain why she's been bestowed with this kind of like this kind of power. I guess from a plot point, it had to be one of them. There had to be like they couldn't all have coincidentally from that same kind of like little town.
Yeah,
all of
yeah. So well, somebody said to her, "It has to be you. You're the only one that can jump." Earlier in the season, that was the whole thing. But I sort of got the impression, they hadn't actually explained it, but that she had, you know, the sort of psychic equivalent of one of those stud detectors that you scan over the wall.
Yes.
You know,
Oh, yeah.
It's sort of like, I can just sense. Yeah.
Sorry, Karen.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, let's talk about, like, aside from the kind of thematic conclusions that we drew from it, some plot things were explained. And we got an answer about the app and the game and the kids that were like lying in that room and stuff like that. So it transpired that it was like, it's almost like a crowdsourcing solution to the, to the puzzle. And the puzzle was that the circular window at the top, after having gone through all the rigmarole of getting to it, if you willed it enough, you could see through to the other dimension. And that other dimension was the film set?
I got the impression it was like you could look into a dimension.
Right, okay.
So, but in this instance, I think it's easier for us to sort of process it as like,
so
let's just give three rather than, but there's probably like a million, right?
So it was a jumping point that didn't require the moves.
Yeah. And that's what that woman said to Hap, though. She said, you know, you guys perform them manually. That's like quite cute. Like,
yeah, but that didn't require, but she still required something around her to visually perform.
Yes.
Like those little things.
Those little cubes.
And then Hap had his big statues moment.
Doing it, yeah. I got the impression, though, that she sort of implied that there are people in other dimensions that have learnt to do it through different ways. And obviously we've seen it sort of literally done mechanically, but I sort of wondered if there are even more ways of doing it. But I mean, the house is sort of a physical manifestation, like a location based. Yeah.
Well, I wonder if we go back and look at all the things that they had to do in there, if they some way related to the types of moves.
I thought the tiles maybe correlated to shapes.
To that kind of,
yeah. But you have to, but anyway, yeah. So Michelle or Buck goes through and, no, Michelle solved the puzzle.
Michelle goes solved the puzzle.
Through the window and then wakes up from their coma in dimension two, in which they have not transitioned and they're not a trans man.
That's right. And Kareem makes it to the window, looks through and sees Michelle / Buck and shouts to her. And then that's when she climbs up and it all just goes.
And then, so that's Michelle, dimension three.
Yes.
Going to dimension two. So that establishes that they're not sort of linear, that they are.
You can go back,
And up and down and like to 7 or 14 or whatever. Yeah.
We've got an explanation about Riz Ahmed as well.
Yes.
His character. So he was hired by Nina. Right?
Yes.
But not Nina from... This is where I got slightly confused. Not Nina from that dimension. Was it? Oh.
I thought...
So, because he was in Prairie's dimension, right?
Yeah.
The original one. So Prairie had hired him?
From another dimension.
From another dimension.
I got the impression he was sent to dimension one.
Right, okay.
As a sort of like... guardian.
As a guardian to kind of help her through. Okay.
Because I thought it was interesting that Riz wasn't in... Wait, was Riz in season two? Yes.
Yeah. But only he briefly appeared, didn't he, in one episode where he was like, didn't you ever wonder why don't you ask me why I was there or something
like
that.
Yeah.
Which was kind of slightly weird, where it's just like, well, okay, if she did hire you to kind of guide her, you did a really shitty job of it, I have to say.
Yeah, you were the one that, like, put the books in her house, wasn't it?
Exactly, yeah.
Well, it was all sort of that one that made them all doubt themselves. Kareem,
Kareem was a guide as well.
Yeah, so there's a sort of tier of these, like, spiritual constants in every dimension that seem to, like... get people to where... I mean, he literally broke her out of the institution. Like, Kareem literally connected the dots for her. And then not to speak of the woman in the woods that, you know, Kareem spoke to at the start of the season. She's... I mean, I forget her whole deal, but she... Remember he went in the water or something?
The
woman in the wheelchair.
Oh, shit. Like yeah. And she was like with the drones and the crows and... Yeah.
Well, I thought drones were going to be... performing the movement at one point.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like, that seems to me like you could control drones to do it, right? That would be, yeah.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
So, question, and apologies to listeners because we are jumping around, but there's, I mean, hey, we're on.
Seems fitting, doesn't it?
It's not linear. When Dr. Percy took Nina into the like room that Rachel had gone into and died in.
Yes.
And there was the water tank where a very Last of Us as well with the mushrooms and
yes, and whatnot, cordyceps.
The cordyceps. We saw all of the gang, all of the kids and BBA dead, being kept alive in that tank.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all there in that dimension.
Yeah.
So which, oh, it's hurting my brain. So then they're all there in the third one. And, oh my God, it just fucks my head up so much.
Wait, but they're not all in, Steve goes to the third one.
Well, yes, but we must presume that they're all there somewhere because they have to be, right?
Steve, well, I don't know. This is the thing. I mean,
well, he was dead. And he was in the second tank. He was in the tank. He was also in,
So Steve jumped from dimension one to dimension three, but maybe the others went to two and that's why they're in the pool. Steve's also in the pool, but
yeah,
like,
that's what I mean. So he's already there. He's there as well.
But I guess the point is that these things are happening simultaneously.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have much rather, my only criticism was yet again, is like, they spent far too long chasing that fucking mirror across America.
Oh my God.
And not enough time talking about stuff like this, which is actually quite interesting. You know,
yeah.
I'd have liked a bit of backstory on Percy.
I didn't need to know about BBA's great uncle Arnold or whoever, no. You know, or her sister, her cousin. Yeah. I'm like, is this relevant really? But what I liked about the second dimension is this idea of all the kids getting hooked on the algorithmic app, which we find out that Pierre, who is Nina's husband, played by Pete from Mad Men, he was,
oh my God, I forgot about Pete from Mad Men. Yes.
But he doesn't look, he with the beard, he looks so different.
Yeah, but it must have been filmed. It was probably filmed around the same
between
time.
Between seasons, maybe must even, because
it was a between seasons beard, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and also, I mean, he was in like two episodes, so that's a 3 week stint. He got the idea after a therapy session with App, right?
Yeah.
Which is just like, so, that's what Nina finds out. She's like, wait, you told him to do this. This was your idea that, like, you know, gassing everyone is like, you know, getting them into the house,
yeah,
gassing them and then sort of
and then
draining them is all part of his idea to sort of mass produce or but this then that sweatshop.
But then that is Dr. Percy telling him to do that, because that's, it's a mirror of what he did in Dimension One,
yes,
with the five kids, where locked them in a house, drained, yeah, them, gassed them, killed them in order, yeah, to find the path. Yeah, it's so, yeah, funny. Oh,
so
I
we
love
have to
it.
Wonder. We have to wonder in season one, in Dimension One, how is it that Hap came to this cabin in the woods? You know, he was working in the city, so who knows who he came into contact with? Where he thought, oh my god, this sort of cavernous.
This is what we would have found out. You can. Right. Give me your elevator pitch for what part three was.
So, okay, I have some thoughts about this. So first of all, I think season three and potentially four have to look different in terms of its makeup. So I think for the first time, you have a dimension that lasts more than one season, because otherwise it's going to get a bit repetitive.
Yeah.
And I think you split it so you have dimension three and a dimension four.
Yeah.
And I think Prairie, OA, whatever, realizes she's married to Happen this one, and it is about accepting that her job is not to get away from him. But
I think there were probably five seasons, like five dimensions.
I think so too. But I think you have to fuck with the format at this point.
Yeah.
You know, we talked on Succession about how they did something audacious in the new episode, and it was not what they did, but the way that they did it, which was,
yes,
in the middle of an episode, no fanfare, no, yeah, speeches, no
that
monologue.
Yeah.
And so I kind of think that's what they'd have to do. So whether there's a dimension, that two dimensions in one season or one dimension over two seasons, I think that would be really good. But I think it would be maybe actually, in order to make everything happen that needs to happen, them having to cast the show. Finding, yeah, people to play BBA, finding people to play Buck. Oh, we really want to get French. French has like killed himself in this dimension. So we have to find, and I think you'd have a really good time getting this layered, like, okay, you're going to, you know, maybe they perform lines from season one, but it's in dimension three. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Almost like noises off kind of thing. Yeah.
Did you see, I mean, yeah, actually, you haven't watched BoJack Horseman.
No, I haven't.
But in season five, there's a sort of season-long storyline where they make a pretentious crime drama for a streaming service. And it's set in the director, who's played by Rami Malek, chooses the most depressing set he can find for like a Hollywood house. And it's a direct replica of BoJack's house. And he basically plays himself. And so the show and his life, he struggles to learn the difference between the two, and they do this amazing episode that is a bottle episode of the fake show, but it's actually him having like a psychotic episode where he can't differentiate between his life. It's really clever, and I could see something like that working really well in OA.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Sure.
What do you think? What are your
thoughts? No, I think nothing really specific other than, I think it all circles round. I think their end vision was the fact that this is infinite and, mm-hmm, circular and cyclic, mm-hmm, and that, yeah, maybe we did, maybe one of the, maybe we see them get so far away from themselves that actually they jump back and they find they're in dimension one and living through it all again, or maybe Hap is, whoever Hap is in a different dimension, telling Hap how to kind of like, giving him a teaser of a clue, because Hap obviously doesn't know that much about anything in dimension one, but someone, yes, must have teased him with something in order for him to kind of go, okay, maybe I need to, yeah, do this. So maybe he witnessed something, you know, a bit Back to the Future too kind of thing. Yeah. Maybe he's in the background of a different dimension. See, I don't know, but something like that. I'm not fucking clever enough. Otherwise I'd have written it. It's like,
but it is interesting though, isn't it? That like, every other dimension he's gained greater, maybe the individual has to travel through all their dimensions, you, yeah, know, so, yeah, he happened to be in season one not particularly clued up, but by three he's far more fluent in all of this. But yeah, it was such a shame that it's not, it just doesn't get to come out to fruition. Can we talk about the cordyceps quickly? The mushrooms growing out of people's ears. When they were dreaming, these roots come out of their ears and they're sort of harvesting that. Is that right?
I think so. Yeah, you saw
that's why Hap eats a petal.
Yeah.
They all had to consume something,
don't they? That's, you know, there's the starfish, there was the bird.
Oh, I see. So you think that was the sort of...
Maybe that was Hap's thing, maybe? I don't know.
My theory was that the petals, again, they'd sort of been able to mass produce the mental experience
to get into the state. Yeah, that
and in order the reason Hap was able to move with conviction was because he'd sort of if what they've been doing is sort of microdosing, he'd sort of OD'd on the stuff, basically.
But
I didn't can't quite remember, just because it was a couple of weeks ago, that the roots come out of everybody when they're...
Well, they all seem to kind of converge into this kind of like water lily moss kind of like network, didn't they? Which we know from cordyceps from Last of Us and fucking Avatar that, you know, that is what they do, isn't it? That's the communication. That's the communicator.
But is it what they were subjected to that made that happen? Did those grow out of them? Or was it a natural response to being in that sort of... Because they're sort of... They weren't zombified, but they were forced into like catatonic states so that they could constantly dream. Is that right?
So Time Magazine did a debrief of it, and this is, I'm just reading it verbatim. So Hap is keeping French, Scott and Steve and a few other teens we first met in season one who lay comatose in a pool where the sprouting flowers from their brains. The invisible river is Dr. Percy's big breakthrough after much time studying interdimensional travel. Together, the bodies are his map because they contain every possible reality. And it comes with a hell of a perk. By eating the petals plucked from these flowers, Dr. Percy can preview the dimension to which he's about to journey before he jumps to it.
Right. Okay. That's amazing.
So that changed everything. So Dr. Percy,
thank you for your service.
So Dr. Percy tries to convince OA that the setup is copacetic, whatever that word means. Do you know what that word means?
Copacetic.
C-O-P-A-C-E-T-I-C. I've never heard that name before.
Copacetic.
Look it up. Means copacetic. It means in excellent order. So he tries to convince OA that everything's fine because he says that the kids are all living their best lives in alternate dimensions. Naturally, she's not keen on that.
Yes, this was really crucial. Yeah. He said, it's okay that they're suffering here because in every other dimension, they're not.
Yeah.
And that this is why I think season three might have been about them coexisting, because OA hasn't learnt that yet. Yes, we're in opposition in some dimensions.
Yeah.
But... it's only because we're harmonized in others and that every dimension has that push and pull. And in fact, she might actually, as a sort of byproduct of that, be antagonistic with Homer in the next dimension. But that is part of the sacrifice or something like that.
So he actually says he's going to take her to a place where he and the OA are a couple of lovebirds. In this zone, as we know, dimension three, she apparently remembers his evil doing, but doesn't believe his exploitative actions actually happened.
Mm. In three?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, it's just like, I could be reading this. We could be reading this about a completely different show for it. It's crazy.
But it's so, I just, amazing. I just feel like it's done with so much confidence. Well,
it's more than just a whiteboard and post-it notes on the wall, isn't it? It's, you know, there are, you know, we talk about backstory and, you know, like with our Game of Thrones pods and stuff about how much George goes into detail about fucking cities and whatnot for chapters on end. But you get the same from this, is that if you were to sit down with them all and say, well, I can explain this, they'd have like an amazing theological and spiritual reason for everything, and it's all been thought through, and there's no plot holes. I loved it. It was great. Really.
The thing I wonder is like what the driving kind of goal is for the show. Once, you know, the whole point was like, I think I can jump into the dimension, and then she did it. And then the second season was kind of like, I need to understand how I did it or why I did it. And now we sort of know that, I wonder like what the show is. And I do think because it's very religious, it's rooted in a lot of religious practice. It's, there seems to be a convergent idea about like, okay, now that you've got, now you've achieved what you were supposed to achieve, like how do you continue to get fulfillment out of your life?
Yeah. And I think the introduction of Kareem and the revelation about Riz Ahmed's character, about them being shepherds, like guides, is something that would probably have been explored more as well.
So
we
good.
Will never know, or will we? Or will we?
I think
there is a case for this to come back.
I would say that it is a testament to the power of the show that I started like thinking about it a lot, and I've been on Reddit all the time the last fortnight.
Yeah.
And people are like, it makes sense though for like it to come back as a different show. Because you know they're doing this show with Emma Corrin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We for Amazon or something.
Did we not discuss a book called The Third Body? Do you remember?
The Three Body Problem?
Yes.
That's a different show. Is that what they're working on?
No, hang on a second. No, it may be the same conversation, but we went off onto IMDb on a pod. Yeah. And so I've started reading that. It's fucking amazing.
Well, they're doing something with Emma Corrin, and
yes.
I'm convinced. And this is how like brainwashed I am. I'm like, it's the third season of the OA. But they've not told Amazon, they've not told Emma. Like, everyone is just like, we've got this new edgy sort of sci-fi drama. But everyone who knows is going to know that it's the OA. And I thought this about a week ago.
Love that.
And I was like, oh my God, they've got to me. I've been completely
brainwashed
by the show. Because isn't that the most like ridiculous idea? But I just
also
thought,
like, yeah, just the cheekiest as well.
Just being like, they would never confirm it, but you're like, oh my God, imagine if this just was the third season, but it's just called something else. I think that would be really
great.
Amazing.
Yeah, I'd be down with that.
And I just think the fact that, and I feel red-pilled. I feel like I've taken, I'm just like, I see the world for what it is now.
Happy as you're Andrew Tate.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just like, the power of the show, it's honestly, I'm not even, I'm 20% doing it as a bit, but 80%, honestly, I feel like it could work. And it would actually be the cleverest thing to happen in modern 100%, pop 100%. Culture. To just
the cheek of doing it on a different channel as well, different streaming service.
But if I was Amazon, I'd be like, this is the greatest thing to happen to us. So anyway, any TV developing executives listening, just give Britt Marling a show.
Just give her a bag of money.
It can be anything you want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you want it to be like a Wild Western,
it will go down in the pantheon of amazing television shows just because of the
concept.
Just
do a sort of fly on the wall documentary starring Britt Marling. And then in the final episode, it's like, this is also a dimension in the OA.
Yeah. Then she looks up at the end as Louis Theroux is leaving. Louis Theroux looks up and sees Kareem staring through a circular window. That's what we want.
That's what we want.
That's what we want.
It's what we deserve, Jamie.
It is. Well done. I'm so glad you enjoyed that. I'm really pleased with how the past couple of months with that has gone. And thanks to like, we've had loads of people getting in touch who.
So many.
Both. Had never watched it and joined us for the journey, but also people that have come on a rewatch and mm-hmm. and enjoyed hearing Chris watch it for the first time. It's been great fun.
It's been so good.
We will at some point think of another one and another kind of like lost classic to kind of watch. Mm. We don't know what yet. I think we've had a few thoughts, but we don't know when, I guess, is the more thing.
So I think what we found, though, was that it was hard to do three. So it might be
two
once
doable.
We've done Thrones.
Yeah. I think we need to take a bit of a break. And
regroup a bit.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. But if you've got any suggestions, I would say get in touch. I don't want another Game of Thrones-y type show.
I think it needs to be really different to Thrones, and I think it needs to be really different to OA.
So I don't think, you know, The Walking Dead's not going to cut it. Witcher isn't going to cut it. Mm-hmm. Last Kingdom's not going to cut it. We were leaning towards Severance, but there are various reasons why that might not happen.
We can't get into that yet, but it's not that I'm working on it either. What I would say, though, is if... the one, not necessarily for a rewatch, but if people are in the mood for a new show, the final season of Barry starts next week.
I need to watch that, yes.
Bill Hader is sort of like similar to Breaking Bad, but it's
okay.
Funny as fuck.
Oh, really? Is, oh, okay.
But it's really sad. It's just brilliant. It's a hitman who ends up training as an improv comedian.
Wow. Okay.
That's the nut graph, right? Oh, that great. He is sort of PTSD the fuck out. He wants to get out of the hitman business and he takes up improv classes and he wants to be an actor. And the two things, he has this burgeoning acting career, but he's also a killer.
He's also a hitman.
Oh, it's really, really good. And okay, I think it's four, three seasons are out already. If people need something, just crack on with it. It's on now. It's really just outstanding. And there are things that like sequences, directing, the way they shoot it, the way they play with it.
Yeah.
One of the best things, and it's so underrated. So that's one. But we'll have a think. We'll figure something out.
We'll figure something out. And, don't worry, we're not ignoring the HBO event that happened last night as we were recording, with like a whole load of revelations. We'll discuss all those in Dragoncast next week. But until then, this is it. Goodbye until Brit does her big reveal, which I'm sure will happen at some point.
Yeah, I look forward. I think in the next dimension, we might not have a podcast together, but I will find you.
Yeah, find me. I'll be in the ambulance somewhere.
Yeah. I'll ride after. I'm not actually very good on a bike, but I will try and keep up.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Farewell, OA, Prairie, Nina. You've been amazing.
If you'd like to get involved in the podcast, just head over to Twitter at @DragonCast_pod or email DragonCast@daftdoris.com and leave us your Easter eggs, predictions and thoughts on the show. You can also watch this episode over on our YouTube channel. Just search for DragonCast Jamie East. Any support, whether it's a follow, a share, a mention to your friend on the bus or a tattoo on your backside, is very much appreciated. DragonCast is hosted by me, Jamie East, along with Chris Mandel, and is a Daft Doris production. Drakkaris.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's JUVEDERM.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's JUVEDERM.com.